This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The NBA season is underway, Denton. I don't know if you watched last night. Many in the sports world this morning kind of focused on LeBron and Bronny in their first game together. It's a nice story. I'm glad that they got into the game together last night. I'm glad we got the shot of LeBron talking to Bronny on the sideline, encouraging his son before he went into his first NBA game. And now hopefully we can move on with the season. By the way, the opening game last night, the defending champs, Boston, opening its defense of its June title, routed the Knicks by 23. In the game, they tied the NBA record with 29 made three-pointers. The Bucks set that record back in 2020. But listen to this. The Celtics set that record early in the fourth quarter, or tied that record. So they had plenty of time to break the record and hit the 30th made three in the game. They went 0 for their last 13 from the field. They were 29 of 48 before going cold, finishing 29 of 61 for the game. That's still 47.5% from behind the arc. They were just on fire. Sign of the times, how about this? 61 of their 95 shots were three-point attempts. 64.2%, nearly two-thirds of their shot attempts were from beyond the arc. Good morning, everybody. Big day today from this standpoint. I think once Dan Quinn speaks today prior to practice, once we find out who's practicing, Jaden Daniels, yes or no, and then afterwards, when the quarterback, all right, the starting quarterback for the upcoming game is scheduled to speak, I think we're going to learn a lot more about his status for Sunday. So today is really the day in which I think they'll get a better feel for where he is on the practice field. Not that they don't have a good sense of it right now, but I think when Dan Quinn said this is week to week, it's not long term, we think there's a chance and we'd like for him to play on Sunday. I really think in many ways it was more of a day-to-day thing. We will see. I'm not, you know, in any position to think that I have the answer on this one. I don't know that they definitively have the answer on this one quite yet. But I think today will go a long way to determining what that answer will be Sunday against the Bears, where they are currently still 2.5-point favorites Sunday at FedEx Field, at Northwest Stadium, excuse me, in Landover. By the way, on the show today, Chase Hughes will jump on with us at 11 a.m. Chase covers the Wizards. They open up tomorrow night against the Celtics, so we will talk a little bit of NBA. We've got NFL buy and sell today. We've got Denton's five burning NFL questions on the show today as well. And we've got news from yesterday. The team released Jamin Davis. We know the track record here. We all now know, you know, it is going back to Dwayne Haskins in 2019, God rest his soul. It didn't work. That was not a Ron Rivera pick. That was a Dan Snyder pick. We then know that they selected Chase Young at number two overall. He does not play for the team anymore. He did win Defensive Rookie of the Year. That sometimes gets lost in the evaluation of the recent drafts. He was the Defensive Rookie of the Year, and then there was a serious injury, and there was a lot more going on with him as well. And then, of course, we had Jamin Davis, and then we had Jahan Dotson. Davis cut, Dotson traded, Chase Young traded, Dwayne Haskins cut. If you want to go back to the 2019 draft when they jumped back into the first round, later in the first round, and selected Montez Sweat, he's no longer on the football team. They traded him as well. But really, if you want to focus on the job that Ron Rivera did, you know, Ron Rivera actually didn't, as it turns out, leave the new regime with a roster that we would thank him for later. That's kind of what he wanted. God, the delusion of Coach Ron last, you know, August, late August, early September before the season began. I mean, he knew he was done, and he was really grasping for something. I'm not sure what it was, but God, if we look back just on last season, 2023, which turned out to be one of the worst seasons in franchise history, you know, 4-13, the games, so many of them, so lopsided. It was a bad football team. And it was a bad football team going into the season. And I think Ron was so grasping for something. He so wanted Sam Howell to work out. He so wanted somehow Eric Bieniemy to become something that no one thought he was destined to become, which was a really good standalone without Andy Reid offensive coordinator. He knew Jamin Davis couldn't play. He knew that the quarterback thing was a major roll of the dice, as was the coordinator thing. Man, that season was so doomed before it started. We've had a lot of those over the years, but hopefully no more, no longer. I'm not surprised, I guess, that they didn't trade him. I mean, I'm not sure what they could have gotten for Jamin Davis at this point. He was barely playing. You know, we'll see before the trade deadline if another first-round Ron Rivera pick, Emmanuel Forbes, is still on this team. Now, he may actually have some value since he was selected just a year ago. You know, just over a year ago. And by the way, just had an interception in the game on Sunday. I'm sure if they thought they could get something back for him, they would have. I'm assuming they made calls and there was no interest. It really is a horrific run, obviously, of the draft. You know, they're not the only team. I think we get hung up on everything Washington related, and this looks like the worst in history, like the worst stretch of first-round picks in the history of the sport. The draft is, as we know, not an exact science by a long shot, and we see teams flail in the draft all the time. The Raiders, since 2016, have only drafted two players in eight drafts. Now, we throw out the 24 draft, but still, 16 through 23 is eight drafts. Only two players out of all of their draft choices have made Pro Bowls. Max Crosby's a good one. Josh Jacobs, the other one, he's not on the team. The Vikings, for a seven-year period, totally whiffed for the most part, except for Justin Jefferson, on first-round picks. Like, five of their seven first-round picks essentially couldn't play at all. You know, there are other teams that don't get it right and have had horrible stretches of drafting. But we care more about this team, and Ron Rivera did not leave a full cupboard. That's for sure. You know, and the players that were left in this program for Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, the good ones were here before Ron got here, for the most part. And it's one of the all-time delusional comments from a head coach. It's one that'll go down for all. I mean, we've got a long list of delusional, lacking in self-awareness comments from people associated with the organization before the new regime came in. That's going to go down as an all-timer, what he told Keim last summer. You know, if I end up not being the coach, and I've left the new regime with really good players and the quarterback, as in Sam Howell, then I hope I end up getting a ring if they win the Super Bowl. I mean, I think Nikki tweeted this out, and I saw it just before the show started. 12 of the 43 draft choices from 2019 through 2023, only 12 are still on the active roster. Now, I guarantee you, you could go through other rosters and find, you know, that kind of, inefficiency with the draft. But the interesting thing is most of the good players, Terry McLaurin, Sam Cosmi, in terms of, 2019. So McLaurin, Cosmi, Benjamin St. Juste, De'Ami Brown, John Bates, Derek Forrest, Phil Mathis, Brian Robinson Jr., Percy Butler, Chris Paul, Emmanuel Forbes, Quan Martin. There will be a couple of those Ron Rivera picks, I guess, that will work out, right? If you go, Cosmi will work out and has worked out. St. Juste has been a starter. Bates was a good pick in the fourth round. Phil Mathis is starting to play better. Brian Robinson Jr., obviously a very good pick in the third round. Percy Butler has played a lot. Quan Martin, I think, will end up being a good pick. But that's basically it. I think Antonio Gibson was a good pick in their first draft. I do. But he didn't make it through to this new regime. All right, so Jamin Davis gone. There were other issues with the team yesterday in the roster. I know most of you don't even know that Kevon Seymour was on the practice squad, but the corner was suspended 6 games without pay for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing substance policy. That was announced. Washington added a receiver to the practice squad. They added, I think, another safety to the practice squad as well. And I think there will be a lot of discussion, and a lot of the stories being written about the NFL right now are focused on what will happen prior to the trade deadline, which is now less than 2 weeks and counting. It's Tuesday, November 5th, Election Day. The 4 p.m. deadline, there's going to be a lot of activity. We had another big trade, if you didn't see this one. DeAndre Hopkins goes from Tennessee to the Kansas City Chiefs. Denton, tell me real quickly, because I've not watched a lot of Tennessee. Is DeAndre Hopkins still really good?
That would be an incomplete grade because his quarterback stinks.
That's fair. His quarterbacking has stunk for a while now. Right? I mean, he was with Kyler Murray. By the way, he was also with Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona. And then he was with Houston all those years.
He was with Houston. You know,
he was with Deshaun.
With Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun was playing.
His best game this year is 6 catches for 73 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I saw 173 yards. I saw numbers. But he's, this is a guy who's 32 years old and has been a really good receiver. I think what the Chiefs will get from him is just, a reliability for Mahomes, a guy that isn't the guy that has a bit of size, great hands, and will be a guy that can absolutely be where Patrick Mahomes expects him to be. I wonder if he's going to be an elite receiver with Kansas City. I don't think so. We'll see. Lots of trade talk from now until the trade deadline. And Washington's going to be involved in some of that. They're going to be involved as a potential seller of, let's just say, a guy like Emmanuel Forbes. I don't think it'll happen, but it could. And there's still the possibility that they're looking for a corner or a defensive player to help out as they go for a division title, a playoff berth, etc. I've seen the continued projections on trade deadline stuff when it comes to Washington is still wide receiver. I don't see that. Cooper Kupp apparently is available. Hopkins was available. T. Higgins might be available. I don't see that piece of it. But in Adam Peters, I trust for right now. All right, I wanted to read a couple of emails that I got. This came from Jason. This was about the conversation about the Tampa Bay-Baltimore ending in which Chris Godwin dislocated his ankle, and he's more likely than not out for the season. Tampa had a devastating Monday night in that loss to Baltimore. They not only lost the game, they lost their two best players on offense. They lost Mike Evans to a hamstring injury. He's out for a few weeks minimum. And they lost Chris Godwin for the season, more likely than not, with a dislocated ankle. For those of you that didn't hear it on yesterday's show, I basically, you know, suggested that the reporter that grilled Todd Bowles about protecting his players and why was Chris Godwin in the game, that was an embarrassing take. From anybody that's got any competitive spirit, that was an embarrassing take because they were down 10 with the football, and they had a legitimate chance to potentially get to within one score, and then they had already recovered an onside kick. By the way, I went back and checked something, Denton. 10 times in 2023, 10 times a team down by 10 or more in the fourth quarter came back to win, or a team down by three scores, 17 or more, in the third quarter came back to win. Three of those were in the final 2 minutes. So it's not crazy. We know that as football fans. You see much crazier stuff happen. But I got a lot of response to kind of going off on that reporter down in Tampa. I thought it was out of line after a while. Jason writes, "You didn't have to pitch me that Tampa still trying to win the game was the right thing. I can't tell you how many times I've lost a bet up 10 with 2 minutes to go." Yeah, from a gambler, that makes sense, Jason. From Suvin, "Kevin, the game was over. He should have pulled the starters in the fourth quarter already." Should have pulled them earlier is what Suvin was saying. Yeah, look, I did say that if he had pulled the starters with 6 minutes to go down by 23, I'd have been fine with that. That's apples and oranges. You know, when you got to within 10 with 2 minutes to go in the game, at that point, you're not going to tap out. Like, that's just silly. But at 6 minutes, 7 minutes to go, down 23 before they had scored and kicked an onside kick and recovered it, yeah. You know, if you wanted to live to fight another day in that spot, would have totally understood it. But nobody in that sport is going to do that with 2 minutes to go down 10 with the ball. Stop it. That's silly. It's an embarrassing take from that reporter. And the way he grilled Todd Bowles, like I said, I love Todd Bowles. I love his temperament. There's no way I could have been that calm in that moment. But anyway, all right, we move on. So, Jaden Daniels, we're going to learn today, I think, a lot as to the availability or the lack of the availability on Sunday against the Bears. My question is, do they need him to beat the Bears? I've already talked about Marcus Mariota's performance on Sunday. It was really outstanding. The dude just came in, and after, you know, a rough first series or two, much of it was not of his doing. You know, you had Cornelius Lucas miss a block badly. On a play in which he got sacked on. He missed Deami Brown on his very first throw of the season. And he probably threw a ball a little bit behind Deami Brown on another occasion. Happens. Other than that, the dude was flat out lights out. Again, understood. Bad opponent. Bad defensive opponent. That's a given. But I'm just curious if anybody else feels like they can win this game with Marcus Mariota, because I do. I think they can absolutely win this game with Marcus Mariota. Do I think they have a better chance or an equal chance to win the game with Mariota? No, I don't. This is not about Marcus Mariota versus Jaden Daniels. Nobody's that stupid to start that conversation. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just asking if Marcus Mariota can start Sunday and Washington beat the Chicago Bears. I think it can happen. Because I think there's a lot that Washington can do against Chicago to support Marcus Mariota. And I will get to that when we come back. But I do want to open up phone lines at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. If Marcus Mariota starts, do you feel like Washington can still win the game? Can they win the game with Marcus Mariota? I think they can win the game with Marcus Mariota. I don't know if that will factor into the decision. Like, if it's close, you know, Jaden can go. It's just a bruise. There's a little bit of pain, but he should be fine. Can't really re-injure it. But, you know, if we put Marcus out there, we got a shot to win this game. We still can win this game on Sunday. We feel good about Marcus Mariota. We feel good about Cliff Kingsbury. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Can Washington win on Sunday if Marcus Mariota starts the game? It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You think Marcus Mariota can beat the Bears if he starts? 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. So, I do. I think Washington can beat Chicago with Marcus Mariota quarterbacking. I hope Jaden Daniels is healthy and ready to go. But if he isn't, I still think it is doable. And I think it starts with, by the way, the other side of the ball for Washington Sunday. They have to be able to stop Chicago. Chicago's been on a run here recently. Caleb Williams has gotten hot. They have started to really be a balanced team. They beat the Rams 24-18, basically rushed and threw for the same amount of yards in that game. They crushed the Panthers, just like Washington just did. In that game, Caleb threw for over 300 yards. They also rushed for 130 yards in the game as well. And then in their win in London over Jacksonville, they didn't get stopped. I mean, Caleb was 23 of 29, 4 touchdowns. They rushed for 152 yards. They have gotten it going offensively. They have a quarterback that's getting more comfortable, more confident. They've got a back in DeAndre Swift who is more than capable. And they do have receivers. All right, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, the rookie from Washington, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, the tight end. He'll throw it to the backs. He'll throw it to Swift a bunch. Sunday's game still comes down to, can Washington be better than they've been against the better offensive teams they've faced on defense? They have to be that. You know, with Jaden or without Jaden, you're going to be in some dogfights, in some potentially high-scoring dogfights, if you can't get the other team off the field. Sunday, they did a nice job against a team that actually wasn't terrible offensively coming in. They were terrible in defense. The game did get away from them pretty quickly, and they became a one-dimensional team. But defensively, they played a really solid game. You know, I mentioned that even after Carolina moved the football down the field on the opening drive, there were three plays. You had the Cleveland Farrell, who did a great job. By the way, Deron Payne was outstanding on that play, too. When they stopped Hubbard for a loss on first down, the throwback screen was disrupted by Fowler, and it landed incomplete. And then the interception, there was pressure from Farrell. And it was a screen, and Fowler read it, and it was a terrible throw by Dalton, but it was kind of a panicked, hurried throw because he was under duress. So maybe we saw something Sunday. By the way, the more you watch it, and I watched more of the defense yesterday, damn, Luvu can play. And I just love the fact that it doesn't seem like an offense ever knows exactly where they're going to be. And there's something that they do defensively with Wagner and Luvu, both kind of in the A-gap, you know, basically right over the center, makes it really difficult for teams. But I'm not sitting here telling you the defense is good, because it's not. That's where it starts Sunday. Now, on the other side, offensively, the last three games, you know, the Chicago Bears have beaten the Rams, Panthers, and Jags. They're 4-2. They opened the season with a win over the pitiful Titans with 93 passing yards. And then they lost a game against Houston on Sunday Night Football. Then they lost at Indy, but they've won three in a row. Let me just begin with this. The reason they've won three games in a row is they are plus six in the turnover margin. They are, you know, turnover margin in the league right now, they are top three. They're third in takeaways, and I think they're third in overall turnover margin. They're third in turnover margin, tied for third. Buffalo's one, Pittsburgh's two, Chicago's three. In takeaways, Chicago's third, tied for third, after Green Bay with 17 and Minnesota with 14. So the Bears have done good job in turnover margin and taking the ball away. They had two turnovers in the Rams game. They forced two takeaways, didn't turn the ball over themselves. Against the Panthers, they had three takeaways and they didn't turn the ball over themselves. And then the Jags turned it over twice. Chicago also turned it over once in that game, but they were plus one. So they're plus six in their last three games, turnover margin. That's why, more than anything else, they've won three straight games. But teams have moved the ball against Chicago. Their defense is top 10 per DVOA, but part of that is the takeaway. Part of the equation, the Rams with Kyren Williams, he ran for 5 yards a carry, 94 yards in a 24-18 loss. Stafford was really good in that game. He was 5-for-11 on third down. They just turned it over twice. That was the difference in the game. The Panthers, Chuba Hubbard, who didn't do anything against Washington, had 97 yards on 13 carries. He went for 7.5 yards per carry. The big difference in that game, it was 36-10. The Panthers just handed them the ball three times. You know, they were minus three in the turnover margin. And then Jacksonville didn't try to run the ball because they couldn't stop Chicago and they got behind. But, you know, they were 7-for-15 on third down. Trevor Lawrence threw for 240. Two touchdowns in the game, had a 67 QBR in the game. Evan Engram, the tight end, 10 catches, 102 yards. The difference was, again, they lost the turnover battle and they could not get off the field against the Bears' offense. So I think offensively, what Washington's done very well, which is be versatile, be balanced, show a lot of different formations out of their run game. My guy Kevin in Arlington sent me this thing that Brian Baldinger did on the internet, breaking down all of the formations on their opening drive on all of their runs. It was a different look on each one. My favorite formation, and I've gone back to this a couple of times, I think we first started talking about it in week 2 against the Giants, is that offset I formation. where, you know, Jaden is in the shotgun and Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Ekeler are basically next to him in an eye. That's a formation until this year I don't think I had seen much of. And they've done so many different things out of that formation. But I'll tell you, it is really difficult out of that formation and others when your quarterback is also a potential runner on the play. And that doesn't change with Mariota. You know, the Bears in their last three games against the Rams, Panthers, and Jags have not faced an offense with a dual-threat quarterback. Matt Stafford isn't that. Andy Dalton isn't that. And Trevor Lawrence isn't that. The last time they faced something even remotely resembling dual-threat was the game against the Indianapolis Colts. And that was the game in which Anthony Richardson actually, you know, threw a couple of picks, but they overcame it with great defense, and Jonathan Taylor ran wild against them, and they beat him 21-16. I think the dual threat nature of Washington's attack, rushing attack, with Mariota in the game, because it doesn't change that much. Of course, the dynamic part of it, the athleticism. Yep, but Mariota scrambles well and he runs well. That's one thing he does well. Okay, sitting back in the pocket and, you know, being asked in drop-back mode to beat you that way is not what he does well. So I don't hate the matchup for Washington's offense against Chicago's defense. The key to this game, like basically every game this year for me, is going to be, can they get enough stops? And in this particular game, because the Bears have feasted off of turnovers, they've got to protect the football. So, Denton, what do you think? Can they beat Marcus Mariota? Can they beat the Bears on Sunday with Marcus Mariota?
I mean, can they? Yes. I don't have nearly as much faith in that as you do. I think he can go out there and win, but I don't know if I can ask Marcus Mariota, hey, go score every possession, the same way that Jaden Daniels has been able to. So if the defense isn't playing as well as they did against Carolina, which is the expectation because Carolina was awful, I don't know that it's fair to say that Marcus Mariota is going to lead them to victory, because Chicago's defense is significantly better than what we saw with the Panthers' defense, because the Panthers' defense also did not want to be on the field on Sunday. So I think it's possible. I think Marcus Mariota is a fine quarterback. I don't hate him as much as some people, but I don't love him as much as you. I'm like right in that gray area middle.
I don't love him. You keep saying that. Stop it.
It feels like you. How about like heavily? Is that fair? Because feels like you
not
like
even
him.
Close. No, I've been saying this since they signed him. There was so much about Marcus Mariota in his career that was so disappointing to me. I think he's a low end starter and a high end backup. You keep saying you love him. I loved his performance Sunday.
Felt like you went like so two a couple weeks ago when the defense played really well against the Browns. You're like, we know the Browns stink, so this defense, it was not a good example of what the defense
Browns
offense. Yeah. But when Marcus Mariota plays against a terrible Carolina defense, the question is now, can he beat the Bears? Like, I'm not there yet.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't know how many times I've said this week, you know, we have to preface the Marcus Mariota optimism that I have with they faced a terrible defense. But no, I don't love Marcus Mariota. I just think that he is a good fit for this offense and a good fit as a backup for Jaden Daniels, and I think he's done a lot for him. By the way, your confidence level in not being able to score in every possession, I share that confidence with you, but based on Sunday, the evidence against a bad defense would indicate that they don't punt with him in the game either, because they scored on 7 of 8 possessions on Sunday against the Panthers. No, I don't. This is not about Kevin loves Marcus Mariota. I think I like him more than you do. We can definitely
you
say
definitely
that is
do.
Factual.
Definitely.
You
do.
Think he stinks. I don't think he stinks. I think he's a low end. I'm sorry?
I think he's that. Like, I was never in the camp of, like, it should be Jeff Driscoll out there. I was never that guy. There were people asking for that on Sunday. I was like, you're nuts. I don't want to see Jeff Driscoll. I'd rather have Mariota in there. But okay. I'm, like, very much tempering the expectations.
Yeah. My expectations for Sunday are that if he starts, they absolutely can win the game against this opponent. But the most important part of beating Chicago won't be Mariota. It will be the defense and whether or not it can get off the field enough against a Bears team that's been rolling offensively to give the offense and Mariota several opportunities. And then, of course, the Bears have feasted off turnovers. But, yeah, no, I'm not a Marcus Mariota fan. I used to crush him for some of the games, some of the big games that he played in Tennessee, where he was just so casual with the ball. That's got to be something that we watch on Sunday too, because the Bears feast on turnovers, and Mariota during the course of his career has been a guy, he's so calm, he's so laid back, he's so, you know, the background that he comes from, he's just an easygoing, chill dude. But I think he's played that way too often in big spots, because he's been in some big games over the years, especially in Tennessee, where that actually ended up biting him in the backside. And that was something I never liked about him. But I do think he's a good fit for this particular team, and I give Adam Peters and company credit for seeing the value of having him with Jaden Daniels and the value of having somebody stylistically to back up Jaden Daniels where nothing changes, because nothing changed on Sunday. And I think the attack against the Bears, here's what you wouldn't see. Like, if Mariota had to start against Baltimore, I don't think you would have seen as much drop back. I think they would have tried to attack Baltimore in a different way, and I think you would have been at a disadvantage in that game with Mariota. If you're going to ask him to throw the ball and drop back and throw it with no threat of a run game, that's a recipe for him for disaster. With Jaden, you can still move the football, score points. We only have to go back 2 weeks to see that. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Do you think we're okay if Marcus Mariota starts against Chicago? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the team980.com.
An early trade this morning in the NFL, the Chiefs acquired Titans wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins for what looks like a conditional fourth-round pick. Along with that, the Titans are going to take about half of DeAndre Hopkins' salary. This comes after the Chiefs have been in wide receiver hell with Hollywood Brown going down, Rashid Rice going down, now Juju Smith-Schuster going down. So DeAndre Hopkins looking to bolster a hurting unit. NBA season tipped off yesterday. The Boston Celtics smacked around the New York Knicks 132-109. Jason Tatum at 37 points. 8 of 11 from 3. Jaylen Brown scored 23. Karl Anthony Towns in his debut in New York, 12 points and 7 rebounds. Yeah. Not great. The James family made history in the later game when Bronny James debuted last night to share the court with LeBron. Bronny only played 3 minutes, but they became the first father-son duo to play in the same game and the same team in the NBA regular season. The Lakers ended up beating the Timberwolves 110-103. Anthony Davis had 36 points and 16 rebounds. And that's what's trending.
If Marcus Mariota starts on Sunday, do you feel like Washington's chances of beating the Bears are still pretty good? Can Marcus Mariota lead Washington to a win over Chicago? I say yes. And again, I think it's going to be a lot about the defense again. Can the defense get the opponent off the field? You know, this isn't Carolina, and this isn't Cleveland, and this isn't Arizona. Can they get enough stops? Can they cover three really good receivers and a good tight end? Can they stop the run? And I think if that's the case, I think Washington will be right in it. I think Mariota can lead this offense to a big day. I do, against Chicago. 301-230-0980. Do you agree or disagree? What do you think? Can Marcus Mariota lead Washington to a win if he's got a start on Sunday? We'll start with my guy, Paulie. Paulie, what's up?
Big guy, hail to the W.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this, first of all. I think Jaden's going to play. But, like you said, if he doesn't play and Mariota has to start, I am confident. And I'm going to say this. You say the offense is not going to change. Well, I think it will change. I think it will be more read option in quarterback designs, because this is how Mariota likes to play. And I think it actually will help out more. you know, in, with the running game with Robinson and Eckler and Nichols, and I think this is how he likes to play, man. This is like Oregon for him, playing in this style of offense. And he said it at the press conference, he likes the designs runs because it gets him into the flow of the game. So, and I think he's been playing in that system long enough where he's very comfortable in it. And he's also played in it in the league when he's with Atlanta with Arthur Smith. That's basically how they ran the offense the whole season.
Exactly.
And he had them in contention for a playoff berth in that system. And I think we got better skilled players than Atlanta had in that time. You know what I mean? So I do think he can lead us in this game. And you're right, it will come down to, you know, not just defense, but complementary football. You know, but I'm very secure with Mariota having to start this game, and I'm secure in him being able to execute the offensive game plan. And I think it'll be, like, to our advantage because he can run more. I think I'd rather him running this read option more than Jaden Daniels. You know, so I think he's
well. They're both excellent at doing it, and it's a part of the Jaden offense too.
Yeah, but I think Mariota, this is Mariota's game. That read option, that dual threat, this college style offense. I think this is how he's won the Heisman. Where I think Daniels won the Heisman year with the big plays from the read option, but more or less from his right arm. We see that. We see Daniels is an excellent pocket passer.
Well,
I think Mariota is just like – Mariota is just a game. He's like Heineke with a stronger arm and a better feel for the read option. You know what I mean? I think
Heineke was not a good read option quarterback, although we never really got a chance to see it. I think he would have been better at it had they tried more of it. Mariota is, like you said, that has been – that's been part of who he's been as a quarterback his entire life. And he's very comfortable in that.
My comparison to Heineke is where he's a gamer and he likes to play that backyard football. You know, run around, find an open guy. You know,
I think as far as a gamer goes, I think I'd trust Heineke as a gamer more than Mariota. I've seen Mariota in big games. He played in plenty of big games in Tennessee. And he didn't play well in a lot of those games. And he cost them a lot of those games.
And he won some big games, too. And you're talking about early in his career.
True.
You know, he wasn't ready for that. Now he's a veteran now. You know, he's been on a couple teams already. Like I said, he's had some success there with Atlanta. I think that's what pissed him off more than anything on that quarterback thing is he felt like he finally was putting it all together with somebody he trusted. And then it was just snatched away from him.
Yeah. So,
but I think that what you're talking about is something early in his career. I think right now he's comfortable with himself. He knows his strengths. He knows his weakness. And I think Kingsbury knows his strengths and weakness. And I think this read option, this college-style offense fits perfect for him. All right, one more thing I'm going to throw in here.
Quickly.
People like to say this, so I'm going to say it too. All right. Who knows Caleb Williams better than Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah.
I'll take that off here to the W.
All right. Paulie, good call. Johnny in Chicago. Johnny, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. What's going on, Kevin?
What's
how you
up,
doing?
Man? How are you?
Okay. All right. I'm pretty good, Kevin. I'm from Chicago. I watch the Bears games all the time. That game against Tennessee, Will Levis threw that pick with like 3-4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Tennessee had him on the ropes.
Yep.
Okay. So I got three keys to the game, Kevin. You're going to agree with me. We cannot turn the football over. I stress that a lot. I think we've been pretty good about the turnover this year, right,
yeah,
Kevin? I don't
sure.
think we have that many, right? Okay. We cannot turn the football over because the Bears feast on turnovers. You know it and I know it. I watch the Bears here.
Right,
okay?
But, Johnny, the question of the day is not the keys to a win over Chicago. It's can they win Sunday if Marcus Mariota is the starting quarterback?
I think they can, Kevin. I think they can. If Mariota plays like he did last week, we all respect it's the Carolina Panthers, okay? But if he can play like he did last week, run a football, I really think they have a chance to beat the Bears, Kevin. I really do. If they play good football like they did last week, but the defense has to show up, Kevin. The defense has to show up. They can't let the Bears just go up and down the field all game. They have to show up.
I agree.
Okay?
Thanks.
So, yeah, I think they could beat them. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Thanks,
I think they
Johnny.
Could beat them.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Aveen. Aveen, can they beat Chicago Sunday if Marcus Mariota starts the game and plays the game?
Hi, Kevin. I think they definitely got a chance. Like you said, it's because we can run the ball and defenses have to account for Mariota 11-on-11. Chicago isn't great against the run, but very good against the pass. So got to avoid 3rd and 7 plus. And I'll say this.
They haven't been great against
the run. Right. Yep.
They have not been great against the run, Chicago.
Yeah, they haven't been great against the run, but they're great against the pass.
I thought you said they've been great against the run. They haven't been great against the run. I'm sorry. Yeah, they have not been great against the run. You said that, and I misheard you. But go ahead.
Yep. Okay. And I think this is a game that people realize that our defense actually isn't really bad. We might be more middle of the pack. I don't think we should dismiss how they played against Carolina, because Carolina under Dalton has been actually pretty decent offense. And they actually have one of the better offensive line units in the league. And we were able to consistently get pressure on him. And we're going to be able to get pressure on Caleb, because that Bears offensive line still struggles in pass protection, especially along the interior. And I'll also say this, you know, those three offenses we've played where we got lit up, those are maybe three of the best 5 or 6 offenses in the league. The other 4 games, we gave up less than 20 points. How many times do we do that the past 2-3 years? And I'll say, you know,
Tampa, Cincinnati, Baltimore, I mean, and the good news is, honestly, there's not much of that left on the schedule.
Right. And honestly, like, since week 4 Arizona, like, our stats have been, like, pretty, like, you wouldn't believe them. Like, our defensive EPA is 5th. Our pass EPA is 1st. And I know that's inflated by Cleveland, but I just think we might be more middle of the pack than people think. This might be like a Dan Quinn defense, where in Dallas, like, they beat up on inferior teams. They could hang in against middle of the pack teams, and they got more lit up against better teams. So I think this is the game to show it.
This is a big spot. Chicago's more than capable, or have been in recent games. Thank you, Aveen. Let's go to Joe in Springfield. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, Joe.
You know, yeah, I do feel confident with Marcus Mariota if he has to start on Sunday. And it's not just because of the running game, because I believe the running game will work well against the Bears' defense. But I also believe that Marcus Mariota is going to be smart with the football, because not only can we do well with the running game, but you see what happens when we do throw the ball to Byron Robinson, Austin Eckler, yards after the catch. You mix that in there, it could confuse the Bears' defense. Now, I am very concerned against the Bears, because we're not going to be playing the Panthers every single week, or the Cardinals every week, or the Browns. This is going to be the toughest test to me since the Cincinnati offense we faced, or the Buccaneers offense, or the Ravens offense, those three.
I don't think it's not the Ravens offense.
Not the Ravens offense, but...
Yeah.
Right.
It's not Cincinnati's offense either.
Right, but I'm just saying it's still going to be not like Carolina was. It's going to be a tight game, and it could come down to the fourth quarter, and Mariota may have to make the decisions to win it for us. Now, I'm hoping that Jaden plays, but if not, I do feel confident about Marcus, because Cliff Kingsbury is not going to change his style of offense just because Jaden Daniels is not going to be there. But I do believe if the running game works, and if Mariota is smart with the football by throwing some screen passes to the running backs as well, I'd say we have a good chance. So take care, Kevin.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. We'll finish it up with Frank. Frank, you feel good about Marcus Mariota on Sunday if he's got a start and his ability to beat Chicago or not?
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Yeah, no, I do not feel confident. I think I talked to you maybe a day or so ago. I didn't want to see Mariota. And the reason why, I just don't – I think that with Jaden's – it's such a dramatic difference between the two. Velocity on their balls, of course, Jaden's a pocket. And really, to be honest with you, I'm not trying to, you know, disrespect Mariota, but I think he's a glorified running back, you know, playing quarterback, to be honest with you. But I think that the biggest key is our defense. Our defense is not going to be able to hold up. They got good receivers. Are we forgetting about their receivers, those three receivers they have?
No, they've got a good tight end, too.
Exactly. They're going to cook our secondary. They're going to cook our secondary. So it's going to be a shootout. That's not Mariota's game. That's not his game. You got to have a top half of the defense or above for him to be successful. You know what I'm saying? So he's going to throw a few. I'm telling you, he's going to throw a few picks. I'm telling you. So, no, I'm not confident in Mariota. I think Jaden, if he can possibly play, if it's a bruise, we need him to play. But I think this game is key as well. I think this game is going to be real key down the stretch and in the season where it's going to, you know, what's going to match up, you know, how many NFC wins we got or whatever. So, no, I'm not confident in Mariota, no.
All right, thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, you know, as you're laying out that scenario of, you know, you're not comfortable with him and you could see him throwing a couple of picks, especially if the game isn't, you know, played in the way in which, you know, Tennessee played some of those games in 2016, 2017. Yeah, I mean, that's him. You can't ask him to drop back and beat you from the pocket throwing the football. It's not what he does well. He's never done that well. He's been an excellent dual threat quarterback, meaning he is most comfortable as a threat to run the football and as a runner of the football. And then when that's going well, he can have some big days throwing the football, like he did on Sunday, albeit against a very bad defensive team. Chase Hughes is going to join us next. The Wizards open up tomorrow night. Can they get to that bottom three? That's what we want, because Cooper Flag, this year's all about the flag. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.